Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We're glad you're worshiping with us, whether it's here in the sanctuary in person or gathering with us by television or hearing later in the week by radio or however. We're glad you're with us this morning. I'm Carl Price, a retired United Methodist pastor, and I have the privilege of speaking to here today because Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Bethany are at annual conference meeting in Traverse City. So we're glad you're with us this morning. We have several announcements to share, and Tyler knows more about those than I do, so I'll pass this on to him.
Good morning, church. We have a few announcements for you today. The first one of which is about our Next Generation Music Concert series. The first of these is next week. And at this concert, you will hear our three choral scholars that we have here at the church, plus myself, singing a concert of all solo music from a variety of genres. There's going to be something for everybody. We're going to have some musical theater. We're going to have some sort of classical type things. We're going to have art song. We're going to have a lot of things in there. And that's at 7 o'clock next Sunday night. And it's going to be a really great time. So you should go. There are also two more this summer. We'll talk more about those as we get a little closer. I'm going to pass this off now to Fritz here, who's going to talk to you about Mission Trip.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here so that if you'd like to come back to the parlor, you can find out who the big man in red is. I'll be in the parlor after service for discussing the Missoula Falls mission trip that I'm going on. I'll be leaving in 8 days. And I wanted to thank you for all your support. And with that, I'm going to leave you with 15 seconds of musical divine enthusiasm.
God's creation is big, but God is so much bigger.
Give me the drone.
I got it for my birthday.
My turn.
No.
Come on. My turn.
Give me that.
Guys, turn left.
But let me show you.
Take it before I take it back.
Go down.
Thank you.
Where'd it go?
And when we take time to stop and notice, we see that even the smallest things he created magnify his greatness. Zoom in and discover the bigness of God in the smallest of things. Lifeways VBS, kids will learn to discover the bigness of God in the smallest of things and come to realize that they too are a part of his amazing and intricate design.
Then you'll discover there's always something God wants you to see.
Time to go.
Go, go, go.
Let's go.
Come on.
Cares about the big things, the small things, and you. Proclaim the Lord's greatness and magnify him. Don't miss Lifeways VBS 2025. Magnified.
It's not too late. This church is going to be hopping Tuesday night from 5 to 7:30, Wednesday night, same time, Thursday night. We have the best volunteers. We are so excited. So if you know any kids out in your neighborhoods or anywhere, we would welcome them to come. It's going to be so much fun. So hope to see all the kids and lots more there. Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of our announcements. So please stand, greet each other until the ringing of the bell, and then remain standing for our opening today.
And join in the call to worship, which you will find printed on the screen or in your bulletin. The Lord our God goes behind and before us.
We are protected by the strength of his arm.
We have nothing to fear, because he is the master of all creation.
Okay, would the children come forward, please? And to the rest of you, please pray for us during Bible school. Pray for us all the time, but pray for us for a successful Bible school where we end up stronger in our faith than when we started. Good morning, guys. It's good to see everybody. Today we're going to learn about Paul and Silas. The story takes place at night and includes a jail, an earthquake, and some singing. When we hear the story, we will discover why Paul and Silas were so happy in jail and who freed them. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for making this beautiful world and for giving us the people, places, and things that make us happy. Most of all, God, we know that we can be happy because you are always with us. Amen. Okay, let's go to Sunday school. Come on, girls.
Thank you. Would you please share the friendship folders that are in the pew and then pass them along to others in your pew and indicate attendance today? We have come to our time of offering, and I'd like to invite the ushers to please come forward.
gracious and giving God, we bring these gifts in gratitude and praise and as symbols of the giving of our lives. We ask that you would use them and use us to the work of your kingdom in this world, in our communities, and all about. In the name of the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Carl has asked me to share the scripture this morning, and we are reading from the Old Testament, from the New Revised Standard Version, and I'd like to share that I'm actually using my Bible that I acquired just a few years ago for one of Carl's Bible studies. Please listen to Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 through 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. But you lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground. Then I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory for myself over Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots, and his chariot drivers. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained glory for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his chariot drivers." The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them, and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. The word of God for the people of God.
Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Make the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't care much for long-term cloudy days. Anyone else feel that way? Yeah, that's what I thought. One year here in Michigan, about spring break time, somebody wrote in the paper, I think it was, "People are leaving Midland so many and so fast, you can almost feel a vacuum forming." I like a nice big fluffy white cloud floating around in a blue sky, especially when I'm taking pictures. And some clouds to block the sun a bit on a really scorching day is really nice. And who cannot marvel at those giant thunderheads you see build up sometime? But those are special, sort of helpful clouds now and then. And more than that, short term. But long term clouds. There's a city on the coast of Alaska that the joke they tell visitors is that sometimes here a two-year-old will grab on the mother's sleeve and point up and say, "Look, Mom, a blue cloud." Michigan isn't quite that bad. But I think in the winter time, late fall and winter, the cloudy days in Michigan can get to you. They do to me. And be depressing. We used to call it something like the winter blues or the winter blahs. But now it has an official name. Science has determined that it actually really happens, and if not just all in our heads. They call it seasonal affect disorder. I think they named it that because they like the acronym of the words, of the letters, S-A-D. That's the way it makes us feel. But sometimes the clouds that shape our moods and our feelings are the events in our lives, not the ones that the Weather Channel can tell us about. Childhood experiences, the tragedies and disappointments that come to us, the heartaches that overwhelm us, the disasters and sometimes strike so overwhelmingly, the decisions and the choices that we need to make or that we already made. Those are the kinds of clouds I'd like to think about with you a little bit this morning. And we might begin by looking at reference of clouds in the Bible. The Bible refers to clouds about 150 times. And the interesting thing to note about that is that many of those references, if not most of them, are not really weather reports when you read into it a little bit. To understand some of the Bible's use of imagery, we need to begin to understand the emotions that they associated with clouds were different than ours, unless we're in the farming community. This time and this place, especially when so many of the cloud references in the Bible occur, was a time when agriculture and livestock were the important elements in people's lives. And that's the way they associated the clouds. Like now, clouds are associated with rain, but then rain was associated with good things. They didn't get much of it in that part of the world. And when the rains came, they knew that was refreshing their streams and their wells and their springs and providing water for their livestock, filling up the water holes, rain to renew their wells and their fields. And so when Jesus spoke in that time about God sending his shower of rain upon the just and the unjust, people would see that as God sending blessings on the just and the unjust and on them. He wasn't thinking about spoiling their picnics or Hurricane Ian or those kinds of things that sometimes we associate with clouds. So it was a blessing, as they saw much of it. The other idea with clouds is one we see much today, and that's that simply clouds hide things. You can't see through the clouds. No radar, no GPS in those days to direct your days. Clouds, blessing, and mystery. Think of those two ideas in it. Which brings us to what I said about so many of the references in the Bible about clouds not having to do with weather reports. Well over half of the passages use the word in a way of referring to the presence or the action of God in the clouds. And still more interesting is how often the passages seem to suggest that there's almost a cloud within the cloudiness, if you will. The physical ones that they were seeing, but then the presence of God within them. Time and again, we read of the children of Israel being led through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud. They're giving the law of Mount Sinai. We read the mountain was covered cloudiness for 6 days, and on the seventh day, God called Moses out of the cloud. Clouds are used to hide the Israelites from their enemy, as the scriptures of this morning. In the gospel, we read of the transfiguration of Jesus, and Luke tells us a cloud came over the people and overshadowed them, and they were terrified. And a voice came to them out of the cloud, saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And time and again, when the Bible speaks about clouds, it's more than saying what kind of day it is. Maybe we ought to apply the idea of that song from the 60s, looking at clouds from both sides. Or as Karen O'Connor writes in her later book, Getting Old is Still Ain't for Wimps. She talks about turning clouds inside out. For one thing, we might remind ourselves that moisture from the clouds, as I said, gives life to Earth. But it's also been demonstrated that the moisture generated by emotional clouds produces some benefits. Researchers have discovered that crying is a natural thing, and it seems to be an inherent mechanism, say, to relieve stress and anxiety. The emotional intensity is reduced by as much as 40% by crying. One theory is that tears act something like our kidneys and our sweat glands, in that they rid the body of excess chemicals that are generated in response to stress. And after a session of weeping, people fall into a deep sleep often and are refreshed when they wake up. Feeling better after crying is not just a fiction. And mind you, I'm not trying to suggest that we need to sit around weeping all the time, not even much of the time. But sorrows and tears are a sign we cared about something. And there's nothing wrong with letting that be known. We men folk seem to have a harder time with that than the ladies do. Men don't cry. Tears aren't masculine, we say. More loss to us. But furthermore, it's often through the experience of brokenness and pain that people find God. That was true in Scripture. Notice the people that came to Jesus so much. It was often the blind, the poor, the sick, the lame, the outcast, the sinful. They came because they saw a need. They were living cloudy lives. Please understand that I'm not trying to romanticize hard times, but I'm saying that there are times that until we're pressed by beyond our human abilities, we're inclined to think that that's all we need. A little more money, a larger house, a special vacation, a promotion at work, or the kids getting good grades. Not that we never need any of those things or that it's wrong to have them necessarily, but they can be such that we think that's all we need. The sun is shining. Everything's bright with the world. And sometimes it takes the clouds to teach us otherwise. There's a marvelous imagery in one verse of the lesson that Judy read this morning. It says what I'm talking about. Other translations do it quite a little bit different way, not changing the outcome, but I like the imagery in this one. Did you pick it up when she read it? It's the last verse. And the cloud was there with the darkness, and the cloud lit up the night. That cloud within the cloudiness, the presence of God. And that's the idea that shows again and again in Scripture. Clarence Forberg, a Nebraska pastor, tells about a woman, a mother of five children, who found it so desperate for her because of health and financial concerns that she decided life was no longer with her living. Her older children were off in school. She just had a little preschooler at home. But one day, when the feeling was so heavy, she took the little one into the bedroom of their tiny house and closed all the windows and the door, stuffed her newspapers and rags under the doors, turned on the gas heater without lighting it, and lay down on the bed with her daughter. She could hear the gas escaping. And she heard another sound. She had forgotten and left the radio on. They didn't have television in the other room. And somehow it seemed important to go in and turn it off. So she got up out of bed and went in the other room. There was some music playing. That was what had caught her attention, the sound of that music. And so she listened for just a moment, and someone was singing that old gospel song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And as the words came to her, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." In that instance, she said later, she realized what a terrible mistake she was making. And she rushed back into the bedroom and turned off the heater, threw open the windows, opened the door, and grabbed her little girl and held her tightly. And later, talking about it, she said, "And I began to pray. I didn't pray for help," she says. "I prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. I thank God for opening my eyes. I thank God for life. I thank God for my children. And I promised God I would never again forget my faith." And the cloud was there in the darkness, and it lit up the night. The psalmist says it another way, whether using it as mystery and as blessing. "Thy steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, thy faithfulness to the clouds." There's a great example of that truth in the background of one of the great hymns of the church. We sing it at Thanksgiving time. The author, Martin Rinkhart, was a bishop in the church of Eilenburg in Saxony. And during the pestilence of 1637, all the city officials and the other clergy of the city either had died or had left to get away from the plague. And that left him alone to provide the ministry to the sick and the dying and the families of the dead. His journal says that sometimes he did as many as 40 or 50 services in a single day. And he presided over half of the 8,000 services of 8,000 people who died. And his wife was one of them. But he was also a musician. And one of the hymns that he wrote has been used as a chosen hymn on special occasions in national life in England and Germany and the United States. Have you guessed the one it is? When I quote the opening lines, "Remember those clouds that surrounded his life. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Talk about finding the cloud within the cloudiness. Listen to some of the interviews that come on TV of the survivors from some of the natural disasters that have ravaged our country so many times of late. Time and again, I've heard someone speak about how experience has taught them more about the main things in life. The tidal surges on coastal cities, the torrential rains in mountains that so often seem to hunt out little trailer parks. Not that people weren't devastated by them, but the time and again I've heard people on TV interviewed after that who say how much it made them recognize what was really important in life. I don't like the clouds that come from events like that, and you don't either. I'm not saying we ought to love them, but they come. Let me be very clear that I'm not suggesting that God sends the clouds in all the events, all the events we're talking about. I'm talking about the Bible imagery of God within the clouds. In his sermon, Broken Heart and Broken Spirit, Thomas Hilton tells the story of Bob Davis. He was pastor of the old Cutler Presbyterian Church in Miami at the time. He was 52 at the time, but years earlier he had been a quarterback in his college days and rather devastating as a linebacker, and he was invited to share the defensive line of the Chicago Bears. But he heard a calling of God to ministry, and so he became a pastor. And one Sunday, after he had been at this particular church, this was 52 years age now, he had been their pastor for 14 years, and one Sunday he stood up before them and announced that it was necessary for him to retire. He told him he had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He asked their prayers for Betty, his wife, telling him that she would be more hurt by all of this than he would. He asked her their prayers that he would not suffer personality change so that he would unwittingly embarrass his friends, his congregation, his Lord, people he loved. And finally he asked that if, when he got to the stage that his mind was gone, that God would lead him home, take him home. And when someone asked him then, well, what about healing? And he replied, we all want magic, I guess. I'm reading his words now from Thomas Hilton. But the Lord has made it clear to me that I'm no different from the Apostle Paul. Remember, he prayed 3 times for some affliction to leave him, and it never happened. Yet he was able to say, and then had lost his thought, as he'd been doing sometimes lately. And he turned to his wife and he said, what was it he said, Betty? And Betty answered for him, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Bob Davis didn't find the healing he would like to have had in that cloudy days of his life, but he found the God who was there with him amidst the clouds. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians in this other passage of Scripture, we are afflicted, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. There was a cloud within the cloudiness. I don't know what the weather report was on that day long ago when women hurried to a tomb in a garden to anoint a crucified body, but I'm sure the emotional clouds were heavy. But they found an empty tomb, and the stone rolled away. The cloud was there in the darkness, and the cloud lit up the night. May that be true for us as well. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Great and gracious God, we thank you for the wonder and the beauty that we rejoice in discovering in our world that you have made. We marvel at the intricacies of creation as we experience it. And we confess that we enjoy it most in sunshine. But help us remember, Lord, as people of the Bible recognize perhaps more easily than we do that we need the clouds to bring the rain and the waters the fields and refreshes our rivers and lakes and sometimes cleans the dirt and dust from our roadways. And when the other clouds come, the ones that can overwhelm us even as the sun shines brightly all around us, help us open our hearts and minds to the shining cloud of your presence that may be found within the clouds we do not like at all. We may not like the clouds that we encounter in life, but Lord, we need to find your presence in them, not assuming that you sent them, but knowing that you were there to brighten up the night. This, O Lord, we pray in the name of the Christ who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is in the beyond the screen here, and it's number 2234, I believe it is, in those little black hymnals. So we stand as we sing. Now may the blessings of Almighty God, the love of Jesus Christ, his Son, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, through your hearts and direct your lives, now and forevermore. Amen.